Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. Today, we're going to be talking about acquisitions. It's changed. We're going to talk a little bit about solutions for defense procurement. We're going to tackle capacity as being not the same as capability. And here to join us today is somebody who's quite qualified to talk on the subject, our special guest, Jack McDonald, and he's the technical director with the ADCA Group. Jack's had over 27 years in the Canadian Armed Forces before taking on leadership roles with both the government and within the defense industry. So he's got quite a bit of experience, and we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Jack, welcome to Vanguard Radio.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to be here.
So before we open the show, we were talking a little bit about some of your background and some of the challenges. And you said, you know, defense procurement is it's at a crossroads and the time to act now is now. Can you tell us, what do you mean by that? Can you expand on that?
Sure. I mean, well, let's face it. We've had, a lot of discussion. A lot has been written. Both within government initiatives that have been debated, not realized, and within the private sector. You know, a lot of think tanks and writings, academic writings about the woes of defense procurement. And, our view is you can continue to debate it or we can act on it. And I think, some of the areas that we've thought of and through our experience in the defense sector, we're looking to propose some solutions to some of those issues that are constantly being debated.
Well, you guys are involved quite a bit. You've got quite a few observations on defense procurement. I know you provide a lot of insights on procurement problems. As I recall, you've got like three core services. There's the agile software engineering development section, there's the integrated security solutions, and then the value-added program management, which I think we're going to get into a little bit today. But before we do, I want to kind of go back a little bit, Jack. ADCA was acquired by Commissioners Ottawa in December 21, I think. Can you tell us, like, what's changed post-acquisition?
Oh, that's a good question, John. It's actually been pretty exciting. So, I mean, ADCA has always been a 100% Canadian-owned company in a sector largely dominated by foreign multinational firms, and that part hasn't changed. We've also been an employer of choice for veterans seeking work after their time in service, so, that hasn't changed either. But what the listeners may or may not know is Commissioners Ottawa is a non-profit organization, while ADCA has been a for-profit company for over 55 years. So, the most significant change for ADCA has been in the adoption of that commissioner's social mandate to support veterans' causes. But that, that new purpose is not only to hire veterans, but it's to create meaningful employment for veterans, for their family members, and frankly, for fellow citizens who share a passion to protect Canadians and our allies. So another part of that ADCA's new mandate is to give back to the social causes in our community. So through our profits, we generate financial resources for veterans of the Canadian Armed Forces, the RCMP, and others who have served in safety and security and well-being of Canada. So I think the biggest change is that those profits flow to advancing that social purpose and veterans' causes and not to pockets of shareholders. And it's actually really energized the management and employees of ADCA. Being part of that organization where, what we do on a day-to-day basis, we know contributes to meaningful outcomes to the Canadian Forces. And it's something everyone in defense is quite proud of, but also knowing that those corporate profits, result in tangible outcomes to those who've previously served. That's an emotional connection between ourselves and the work we do. And it's, not many employers get to claim that. So we're quite proud of that change.
Yeah, it feels good to give back. And, here at Vanguard, we work with a number of different associations and companies that are trying to help to work to promote the value and contributions of what veterans can do. They've got a lot of talents and experience that should not be going to waste, in my opinion. So that's absolutely excellent. I want to just kind of take a quick review, though, too, before we get into the value-added program management. Could we take a walk down memory lane and maybe you can update us on ATCA's core services? What are you guys doing now, and what are some of the things that our listenership should be aware of?
Sure. I mean, ATCA has been around, like I said, for over 55 years, been an industry partner to the Canadian Forces, to other government departments and security clients. So, you know, people may know ATCA in a variety of ways, but our core services have evolved over time, and we're actively supporting emerging requirements and operational readiness and, you know, reconstitution modernization efforts. But fundamentally now we offer three core service groupings, and you mentioned it up top, right? The first is this agile software development. So that's providing software solutions that support both troops directly in theater of operations, as well as systems integration, training and simulation, research and development, to name a few applications. The second is still our core integrated security across both the physical and cyber domains. And some examples are we provide threat and risk vulnerability assessments, conduct threat intelligence investigations, and as well, we provide some security awareness training. And then a third, as you mentioned, is this emerging and evolving service that we're calling value-added program management. And that's the area that we believe, you know, can be part of a solution for today's defense procurement challenges.
So, Jack, I kind of mix this up a little bit, I'm sure. So what is the difference between program management and value-added program management?
Okay, well, that's a really good question. So value-added program management, is a holistic program management service that, among other attributes, you know, we believe is agile, it's innovative, and it's scalable, right? And this is why we believe it can help be part of the solutions that we're seeing in defense capability delivery. And as I said up front, you know, we are at a crossroads. You know, it's been debated a lot, and we believe now it's the time is right to act. And I'll give you an example, right? So it was reported about last year, I guess, that there were more than 1,200 procurement positions vacant in national defense. And of course, the inference is that defense procurement is being hindered due to a lack of people. But is it really a simple capacity problem? Would filling those positions reduce delay or accelerate delivery? We don't believe so, right? Providing D&D with just additional resources by itself will not address the issue. And that's where, you know, we're saying capacity is not the same as capability. See, we believe the problem has been viewed from the wrong direction, right? Capacity is an input problem and capability delivery is the output, right? So whether we're modernizing command and control systems, digitizing information management, or supporting a brigade in Latvia, the focus has to be on the objective, the outcome, and not just how many people can we support, right? So for ATCA, the key question isn't about how many, it's how, or maybe what, right? And the insights we've gained from our experience in defense services, you know, we drive that belief in ourselves that the solution is to construct a new relationship model. And so this value-added program management, this approach is different from the typical staff augmentation relationship model that, you know, frankly, the government still tries to do for defense procurement.
If I were to ask you in terms of a new relationship model, what are a couple of key points that would change with your program compared to the current stuff that's going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, this relationship model, I guess, could be distinguished in two different ways, right? The first is, as I mentioned, it's innovative in that it's not simply an augmentation of traditional program teams on a piecemeal basis. We're trying to get away from the bums in seat approach and provide a more holistic program delivery capability. So by bringing years of experience, we can offer agility, lean and empowered management, the right number of qualified, skilled and experienced personnel, right, specific to D&D or client processes, and get that job done. So, you know, we're focused on defining the competencies required to deliver, not just labor categories to fill, you know, a box on an org chart, right? So it's about getting competent people, to get the job done without micromanagement or hierarchies of approval for each, you know, decision in the process, right? So that it's about a drive to supporting the mission, and whether that mission is providing capability in the field or behind the lines. And then the second thing would be working collaboratively with department, right, to deliver the program. So not just supplement person hours. So, you know, understanding the client's priorities, the issues, concerns, getting right into the working culture. And, you know, many of our employees are veterans, and we're passionately committed to the success of those who are still serving. So I'd say those are the kind of two different ways that we would distinguish the value-added program management from the traditional current program management approach we're seeing in defense procurement.
I'm curious, what kind of results are you guys getting? I mean, it sounds pretty good, and it sounds like if it's running lean and efficient towards the end result, are you seeing a big difference? What's getting reported back?
Well, the truth is there isn't a lot of examples currently, and this is part of our, you know, pitch in doing this podcast and writing articles about that, is to try and inform government decision makers that this is a new paradigm shift that's required in defense procurement, right? There's still a lot of RFPs out there looking for an individual or a group of individual to fill boxes on an org chart. But what we're talking about is a complete rethink on how programs are delivered. And you know, we've identified some of the benefits in doing that, right? So obviously, first and foremost, we get delivered, you know, the program would get delivered more quickly, right? And getting outcomes to those members who need it, whether that's software, modernized equipment, or some other service requirement, right? And then the other benefit is obviously the reallocation of, you know, uniformed members or public servants to other critical missions or higher complexity procurements, right? So right now, everybody's spread thin, and they're augmenting those program teams with contracted support from ADGA and others, and trying to fill those boxes on the org chart to deliver. But it's very much a cookie cutter approach to program management. And what we're saying is, let's bring in a new way of thinking, a new lean approach, bringing the right people in at the right time, not just an FTE to fill a box. And I think that, you know, to me, those are the big value adds, right? And in this regard, we become more of an ally to the department, with the objective of delivering outcomes right at the highest standards of performance.
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if I'm hearing correctly, what it means is there'll be a better opportunity for delivering kind of the speed to market approach. And then by being able to reassign, it's increasing bandwidth and allowing people to move into other projects that may even be, you know, more relevant or you know, the right people to tackle other projects that might not necessarily get the time and attention.
This
is definitely something we'll want to follow up on and talk about the process. And I'm going to imagine this is going to have an application both on the battlefield and behind the lines. Maybe you can tell us a little more about that.
Well, that's it, right? So, you know, getting, as you mentioned, getting speed to market, whether that's a product, a service, a new software, getting that into the hands of the people doing the work on the front lines, right? That's the primacy in this case, right? That's the ultimate objective, is getting these, you know, hundreds of projects and programs in defense to the people that need them. You know, that's the goal. And then, you know, behind the lines, it's about giving people the opportunity to do what they're trained to do, rather than, you know, filling up slowly moving project teams and having projects that last for many, many years, and creating this rotation of people coming through posting after posting. You know, the idea is that we have a program team that's lean, can go quickly to market, and allow you know, the uniformed people to do more meaningful work. Not to say that what they're doing in projects is not meaningful, but when you're spinning your wheels for a decade to deliver on a program, not only is it frustrating, but it creates a kind of reset every time someone new is posted in.
So, I mean, when we talk about accountability, really, your value-added program management approach is designed to give practical steps that are going to help to deliver on that. That's exciting.
It really is. And I'm glad you mentioned accountability, because that comes up in discussion. And a lot of people think that by, you know, allowing, you know, someone outside of government to program manage their delivery, that they lose accountability. But the value-added program management model doesn't alter that accountability regime. The client remains responsible for delivering the results. And then ADGA would operate to benchmarks, metrics, and KPIs, you know, outlined by that approach. And so, you know, the true value is measured by the client. And instead of providing those single bodies that have to be managed, and there's an overhead component to that, you know, we're providing a whole team offering, almost a turnkey project management solution. And like I said, that would freeze up D&D employees, both uniform and civilian, to work on perhaps more critical, more politically sensitive, more complex, you know, they can define where they can reallocate their own internal capacity, and we can deliver on those things that we're absolutely qualified, equipped, and prepared to deliver on.
You've been listening to Vanguard Radio. Today we're talking about solutions for defense procurement, and we've really dialed in on a special program called the Value-Added Program Management Program, which is offered by ADCA. Our special guest joining us, Jack McDonald, Technical Director with the ADCA Group, and we've covered a lot. I really want to thank you for joining us today, Jack.
I appreciate the opportunity, John, and I look forward to meeting old friends and colleagues at DefSec in Halifax shortly. So I encourage people to drop by our booth, and we can have a chat more about value-added program management.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.